Look, after that lovely excursion into the garden, I'm delighted to have a brand new guest with me this morning. It's Kerry Myers, who is the newly elected president of Armidale Central Rotary. Good morning, Kerry.
Good morning, Margaret.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Oh, my pleasure.
It's just wonderful to meet you. We've been talking with John Jones for quite a while, who's your predecessor, but you are now it.
I'm in the hot seat.
Yep.
Or, as I said to you earlier, I'm the last man standing or last person standing.
Oh, no, don't say that. No, we've got two really wonderful Rotary clubs in Armidale, and we did have four, and some of those have struggled or folded into your club and the other Armidale Rotary Club, which was the original one. But yeah. Armidale Central meets during the day, and that's your club, and you, of course, are the club of the book fair fame.
We're the book people.
Which is just such an amazing annual event in May every year. But listen, before we talk about the next iteration of the book fair, Kerry, you've got a really interesting background yourself. You haven't always lived in Armidale.
No, we're newbies in town, if you can call 6 years.
I think we do call 6 years newbie.
I was born in Cobar, New South Wales.
Oh, I love
Cobar. Way out west where the crows fly backwards to keep the dust out of their eyes.
Yeah, and the kangaroos, I remember driving from in the middle of the night to get to something in Broken Hill, and I did the stint between Cobar and Broken Hill between 3 and 6 in the morning. It was the most exquisite experience. Pretty scary in a tiny little car, but kangaroos asleep across that plain.
Yes.
Rocking, rocking.
I've done that trip. But we left Cobar when I was only a young fella, 5 years old, and grew up in Sydney.
Right.
So I still feel an affinity with the bush, the real bush.
Of course. Well, if you're a Cobar lad, you can't get the dust out of the boy.
Yeah.
That's right. Oh, well, Cobar is an amazing place, not only for its kind of, you know, history and everything, but it had a mayor. The mayor of Cobar, I think she died in office at about the age of 90.
Bradley, yeah.
Yeah.
She was very famous, and so was her husband, Dr. Bradley.
Yeah.
He was just part of the furniture. They both were part of the furniture of Cobar.
I remember seeing her at a local government conference, and, you know, she was just going like a train.
Yeah.
And do you know what? I think she had some kind of ridiculous code of conduct against her, and she died before that was resolved.
But she did so much.
Was it Lillian?
Lillian Brady.
Lillian Brady, yeah. Brady, was it?
Brady,
yeah, and just the most remarkable woman. So, but anyway, Australia is full of remarkable people, and especially, I think, older people who are like Lillian, who just kept going and holding the fabric of the community together in all sorts of challenging times. But talking of challenging times, you've got a long history with journalism. That's what your trade is, Kerry?
For my sins, yes, I started as a copy boy on the Sun newspaper back in 1988, just after leaving school. And in those days, starting as a copy boy was the way to enter the profession.
Mm.
And I was lucky enough to get a cadetship, a 3-year cadetship, and then became a graded journalist. Oh, what an achievement I thought it was.
Yeah, that's right.
And I was on the Sun in various capacities and roles for the next 20 years before it closed, sadly, in 1988.
Yeah, so... The Sun was just an institution in Sydney, and probably did it circulate right around the state?
Right around the state, but mostly the metropolitan area was its main focus. But no, you could get it all around the place.
But everybody bought the Sun to find out what had happened during the day.
Well, that's right, and we had a reputation for being credible.
Yeah.
And in at times of big news stories breaking, it was noticeable that our circulation rose while the opposition, we won't mention the opposition, its circulation fell. So people turned to it when they wanted to know the truth.
That's right, yeah. Well, I remember it was just a really important part of the day to get the Sun. You'd get the morning paper, but you'd also get the Sun to find out. I mean,
since
before all this internet fake news and this sort of proliferation of kind of information, if you like, but not sort of creditable. You know, you got that. You didn't have as much, but it was certainly been checked by editors and truth checked. And
gee, they were the good old days when there were things called editors and sub-editors.
Yes.
Proofreaders and thing of the past.
So, Kerry, what? Tell us, just because I want people to get to know you a little bit, tell us maybe one of your favourite stories about being a journalist in Sydney on The Sun.
Probably my favourite story. I served a time in New York as a young foreign correspondent for The Sun and the Sydney Morning Herald back in the early 70s, and that was great fun for a young bloke. But later on in my career, I was a sub-editor, and a job came up over Christmas, and it was the editor at the time was looking for a single fellow who would give up 3 months of his time, especially over Christmas and New Year, to travel to Antarctica.
Oh, wow.
And I jumped at it.
Yes.
And I spent 3 months sailing down and sailing back and spending time on two of our Antarctic stations down there.
Oh, wow.
And I think that was one of the highlights of my journalistic career, just experiencing what the Antarctic was like and interviewing the expeditioners that spent more than 12 months there.
Yeah.
So yeah, I got many stories out of that, and
you would have become the Antarctic expert the ever after, I imagine, too.
Well, I've been trumped in our Rotary Club by Jeremy, who was a station officer down there for a few turns. So Jeremy's the Antarctic expert, and I'm just the observer.
But it does make an interesting point, though, that if people that join Rotary, they're going to find really interesting others to, you know, have conversations with and, you know, really expand your horizons, I imagine.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of people who join Rotary, from butchers and tradesmen to university lecturers, they even accept journalists. So, yeah, it's a wide selection of the community, and we're all bound together by the Rotary motto, and that is service above self. And that's what we try to exercise. And while we're exercising that motto, we have a lot of fun.
Yeah, I always get the sense of that there's a lot of, well, I mean, they say that people that indulge in altruistic activities have the best mental health. Because, yeah, they're doing something for other people.
That's right. Well, it takes you out of yourself,
yeah,
and gives you a goal, and that goal is to help other people in the community.
Yeah.
But our book fair raised over $100,000 last May.
Amazing.
Over the week, and that is amazing. And it's due to the generosity of the local community, who not only donate books. I can't get over how many books are donated on a weekly basis. We sort books at our book shed every Monday morning, every Friday morning, and the containers are chock-a-block with books, quality books.
Yeah.
And it just keeps coming. I mean, Armidale must be the most literate town in Oz.
Well, the most aspirationally literate.
Well, I hope so. So, but we have fun sorting the books. It's a great time for fellowship.
Yeah.
And then we work our butts off during that week in May. And again, we're buoyed by the fact that so many people turn up and tell us how much they enjoy the book fair itself and how much they look forward to the book fair. So it has become part of the social calendar of Armidale. And long may it continue.
Oh, look, it's amazing. And that's an incredible figure, 100,000.
Well, it takes us to over $1 million in the 25 years of the book fair.
Yeah.
And that's incredibly grateful to the local community.
Mm.
I mean, without their support, we couldn't do what we do.
I know, but also without you guys and women and younger people too, labouring, as you say, working our butts off to sort the books. Because one of the things I think about the book fair is that it's so well organised. You know exactly where you need to go for the kind of whatever you want. If it's, you know, ripping yarns, thrillers, airport books, that's in one section. I mean, they're very, very affordable. But if you want really quality books, your special section is amazing.
Isn't that a treasure trove?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And things that, you know, one-offs, things that are out of print, local history, so important, and books that are really very worth a lot of money. I mean, I know you keep an eye on the values and things, but so you're not abusing your donors in terms of pricing books correctly, but nevertheless, they're very affordable given what they are often.
Yes, well, I picked up a beautiful book, Arden's Shakespeare, beautifully leather-bound book, and I, just for the sake of it, Googled it. And we sold it for $20, and it's fetching $200 or $300 on the internet. And that's just an example of some of the books that come into our shed.
Yeah.
And there's some bargains there.
There are, but on the other hand, there are, and which is wonderful, but the point is that those books, they do move. I think they circulate back through so that over time people donate them back, and so they would capture that value over a few, over a few rotations, if you like, through the book fair. So, well, sometimes they do, but of course there's no obligation to. So that's wonderful. Now, you've got something pretty exciting coming up before the end of the year.
Yes, well, it's a mini book fair, if you like, or it's been labelled a DVD sale, but we've got more than DVDs to sell. It's on the 2nd of November, so, folk, put that in your diary.
Absolutely.
Now. It's 2nd of November, and it's in the surrounds of our bookshed on the corner of Demerick and Canambie Street, and we expect to have more than 7,000 DVDs. There'll be at least 1,000 novels for sale, plus more than 500 cookery books. And cookery books, always a great attraction. There's more than 2,000 non-fiction books across a lot of categories, and 1,000 non-fiction books courtesy of the Armidale Library. So we should really name the sale the Rotary Outdoor DVD and Surplus Book Sale. And again, it's on the 2nd of November.
2024, so look, it's going to be in time for you to get some of those really special books for Christmas, or just stock up on your Christmas reading or Christmas listening, so, and watching as well. So you've got DVDs, and you will have some CDs there as well.
Yes.
Yes.
I think we might even have some LPs.
Oh, well, I mean, there's a growing market for vinyl as well.
There is. I was surprised. I visited a record shop in Sydney recently, and they're selling for $60 a pop new LPs. It's quite incredible.
Amazing, yeah. So, but these will all be pre-loved, I imagine.
Very, in some cases, very pre-loved, but good fun.
Fantastic, and it also gives the public the opportunity to see whether the work really happens. You know, the boom docks, if you like, because it'll be down at your shed, your sorting shed, which is, you know, different to the main May event, which is held in the jockey club.
That's right, the race course.
Yeah.
Oh,
fantastic.
And all that money that we raise is dispersed, most of it is dispersed locally. Mm. And that's the good thing. We give back, or the community gives back to itself, if you like.
Mm. But I'm telling you, Kerry, they couldn't do it. And I've been here a little longer than you, but I'm from somewhere else. That it couldn't be done if there weren't the willing people through Rotary to actually make it possible. I mean, you just can't run a book show, a book fair. It's an enormous amount of sorting and marking up and volunteer work.
There is. But as I stress, Margaret, it is good fun. And I encourage anyone who's ever thought of joining Rotary to visit our Facebook page or our website, and there are contact numbers there to contact people. Come along, have some lunch with us, just see what we're all about. We're not a secret society.
No.
There's no great formalities. They're just a group of people who love helping other people.
That's right. And I mean, there was a preconception, I think, in the olden days, Rotary sort of had a one-off policy where, you know, you had one butcher, one baker, one candlestick maker, but that's not the case anymore, is it?
We welcome all trades.
And especially women.
Oh.
Once upon a time, Rotary had a reputation for being a male-only society. That thankfully has changed. And the more women that we can get, because after all, they're the lifeblood of the community. They do the heavy lifting.
I don't know. I think we need to work together. I mean, I would agree with you in many ways, but without the fellas, pretty lonely for the girls or the ladies. Yeah. So both. But of course, you're also looking for younger people as well.
Yes, of course. We're all advancing in years, but new blood is always very welcome, and new enthusiasm as well. So please look up our Facebook page and our website, and if you've got any inkling that you'd like to find out more about what we do and how we do it, please get in contact. And
so that website is www.rotarycentral?
Armidale Central, yeah.
Armidale Central, sure.
I'd suggest the Facebook page is the place to...
Yeah.
And, of course, you can keep up with our activities on the Facebook page.
Now, Kerry, if you can just remind us as well, if people want to donate books, CDs, DVDs, it you're still receiving them down at the
at the book shed. There's a big container there that you can pop books, CDs, DVDs, whatever you like. No clothing clues.
No, we don't do clothing.
24/7, 7 days a week, or on Monday and Friday mornings from, say, 8 o'clock to 9:30, we accept deliveries there.
You'll be there,
And as I say, they're always very, very welcome.
And the donation sort of box is accessible from the street, is it?
Yes, it is.
Yeah. Yeah, so
you can't miss it. It's a big, big yellow box.
Yeah,
and the book shed is easy to find.
Oh, fantastic! Well, listen, we're going to have you in again, Kerry. More journalist stories and more stories about the lead up to the mini book fair or CD and DVD sale, which was going to include all those other things, and what a little bit of disposal from the library as well. That should be the Council Library.
Yeah, and they're very good quality books, as you can imagine.
Yeah, well, they've got an obligation to keep updating the collection. Mm. So the books that they have to sort of let go of after they've been used by the community, still wonderful, wonderful books.
Oh, in mint condition, a lot of them, and some great titles.
Terrific, yeah. And so that and those books come through state government grants for acquisition, so that's another way of getting that largesse, if you like, back into the community. That's wonderful. Thank you so much for coming in, Kerry.
Thank you, and we look forward to seeing all you punters on the 2nd of November.
Oh, yeah, well, we'll talk about that more. So that I presume that'll start around about 8 or 9 o'clock?
Yes, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock,
yeah.
And similar terms and conditions to the May Book Fair, which is no toilets, I think, and no teal coffee or any of those.
The closest toilets is across the road at the showground. Yeah. Sadly, we don't run tea and coffee. But there's goodwill in bucket loads.
I know. I mean, I've discussed this with John Jones before about the tea and coffee, and he said, look, you know, people just really want to get at the books.
That's right.
They don't want to be distracted. They've got lots of other things to do, but their focus is on books.
Yes, so. And bargains.
And bargains, yeah. Oh, that's wonderful. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks, Margaret.